Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Getting Hammered. I'm your host, Mary Catherine Hamm. I'm here with my co-host, Vic Mattis of the Washington Free Beacon. We are your morning show for any hour. And you know what? You guys really like our goof around shows. So we're going to goof around a little bit today. Not drunk. We're not doing that today. But we are going to taste some gas station delicacies. We have a variety of Slim Jims and other jerkies to try for you guys while we're chatting about the dumbest news I could find. So we're going to do that. We will do it off mic. We're not going to chew in your ears. But if you're sensitive to that kind of thing, just have that volume button ready, you know?
And if you're into it, turn it up.
ASMR jerky. That's us. Anyway, before we get to that, Vic, all the important stuff we're doing, how are things going for you?
Hello, Mary Catherine. Going well, a little bit tired. So my son has a learner's permit, and he's on his way to getting his license, and so you have to take these lessons and, you know, the whole thing. It's different now than when we were growing up.
Right.
You actually have to, like, log in hours of daytime driving, nighttime driving for some reason. And, like, when we took it, I don't know about you, you just take the test. You take a written test, and you do driver's ed.
Right.
And then you go to the DMV.
Yes.
Which is the most nervous I've been for any test in my life, by the way. For any test, including in schools, was that test. And then you either pass it or you don't. Was that the same for you?
I think that it's possible. I think I might have gotten in right before they changed it. But in North Carolina, it was, you did require space between getting a permit and going and taking the test for the actual driver's license.
Right.
So they wouldn't measure what you did during that period of time, but they did require you to have it for 6 months. And then they changed it later to be much more intense and graduated. So you'd have a license, you'd have a permit where you could drive with your parents for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a different kind of permit where you could drive by yourself for 6 months.
Wow.
So it was like a real, I'm not actually totally against that, because driving is a thing that you get much, much, much better the more hours you log.
That's true. And
much like everything, I guess.
But, I mean, I think about when I started driving and, you know, I mean, high school kids. You know, it gets pretty crazy.
Yes.
But certainly getting in the hours is an interesting thing. I think you just had to wait for your birthday when I was back in my time. When you turned, you know, whatever the age it was, 16, 17, then you can get the license on that day.
Right.
And so it was either a great birthday or it was a terrible birthday.
Right.
And you were missing. Chances are it was during the weekday. And so everybody knew while you were gone. And so either you come back with a big smile
come
or not.
Come back triumphant or no.
Yes. I passed my, you're allowed to fail, I think, two things. I failed one. I was really surprised, but it was the parallel parking. I had been training with like single cone action and they did triple cone and I just was thrown off because it does not compute for me. But you were going to say something.
Oh, I think I was benefited from the soft bigotry of low expectations. By the time I came along, they didn't do parallel parking anymore as part of the test.
No.
Now, I happen to be a very good parallel parker.
Sure.
But we did not do it as part of our test.
I wonder nowadays if the kids have to learn, use like the video cameras when they back in and stuff. Does that matter?
Wait, that's the thing, is your skills for sure atrophy.
Yeah.
Has your brain ever glitched while you're trying to do something you've done driving so many times and suddenly you're like, how do I do this? There's like a...
I need an example.
Well, so I think I was on a trip and I think it is because of the backup cameras now.
Yes.
So I was trying to maneuver into a spot. I was a little bit of a long way away from it and needed to like go a long way backwards and turn the wheel the specific way and get into this spot. So it was like three things going on. And I think my brain didn't know whether to rely on my muscle memory and old skills or on the camera. So it keeps switching back and forth and suddenly I can't drive.
You just froze.
I just was like, what am I doing? And I kept failing and I had to keep trying again. It was very embarrassing. I'm in front of my children like, I promise your mother can drive. And I finally decided, don't look at this camera at all. Use your old skills.
Old skills. You turn around, put your hand behind the passenger.
The old ways, the ways of my people.
Yeah.
I used those skills instead. And that's what did the trick.
That's it. I wrote a piece a long time ago about how cameras are terrible. And of course, that's all I do now, like with backing.
Of course.
I feel like one of the drivers at Dulles Airport with those people movers. But I will say this. Night driving is one of the things that my son has to do. And so we just decided, the two of us, to drive out on Saturday night to Front Royal.
Oh, wow.
Way out.
Okay, yeah.
And I was thinking
beautiful
about you.
Beautiful drive.
Because it's on the way to Luray Caverns. It was a gorgeous drive. And while we were there, we went to a great burger and shake place called Spelunkers, which I mentioned
the
show last time.
Oh, okay. You tried
it. It was fantastic. And I sort of kind of skipped like a lunch or so. So in fact, I did treat myself to the double burger and a milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
That might explain why I weigh more now at this moment, and onion rings. However,
onion rings.
It's a trip out to Real America, right?
Right.
We go out there and we're sitting outside because it was so crowded inside. We were in the outdoor area, like picnic area, having our thing. A car driving by on the main road slows down, and some young guy, the window's down, he leans out of the window and he yells out to the people at Spelunkers, "Joe Biden hates Spelunkers," and then drives away. And I thought about it. Why would he say that? Maybe he was like trying to get, you know, people not to vote for him,
mm-hmm.
and figured that, you know, they're all there.
You know,
must love
it. That's actually the canvassing operation for Trump's official campaign.
That's it.
Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Like, high-speed heckling is an innovative new tool.
It would be on brand. Mary Catherine, how are you?
Good. By the way, I would like to say, speaking of eating,
yes.
that I did not react properly to the cannibalism story from Joe Biden, because honestly, I didn't process it fast enough in our podcast last week. And I thought Vic must be joking about Biden telling that story in that way. And Vic was not joking.
No. The plane crashed in the water.
The White House had to walk back the story
the
president told about his uncle having perished at the hands of hungry cannibals during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that happened this week in politics.
Yes, that did happen. No word on, you know, the cannibals or what their age or were they old?
Yeah.
Or were they fine and young? Thank you. Thank you for people in your 80s. That was kind of a stretch. I do that, but this is funny that you bring it up.
Are you from 1989 also?
Because in which case, that was a funny joke. I do have a cannibalism update for you since we're on.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it up. Okay. So this Michael Kabuni is a political science lecturer at the University of Papua New Guinea. And he told the Daily Mail, quote, "The Melanesian people," those would be those people,
mm-hmm.
"which includes those from Papua New Guinea, are, quote, very proud and would be offended by Biden's generalization of cannibalism. He explained how cannibalism was not practiced due to lack of food, but instead as a sign of respect in very specific contexts, such as eating a deceased relative's body to prevent it from decomposing."
Okay.
"Quote, but taking it out of context and implying that your uncle jumps out of the plane and somehow we think it's a good meal is unacceptable," he added.
You know, I just have to say, if this were a Republican who said this, it would be the most offensive thing that had ever been said in the history of the earth, and we would never stop hearing it. Second of all, I understand being upset if your cannibalism is mischaracterized and there's context for your cannibalism.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say if someone did that to me, it would drive me crazy.
I'm doing this.
Ooh, ooh.
I'm doffing my fake hat. I don't have a hat. But
okay,
I'm
enough about
it for
that.
You. That was very good, Mary Catherine.
Well,
I was
you.
Wondering, I saw you scribbling away.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's so that my brain can remember the joke I'm about to make.
It's that early.
I'm a spontaneous young lady with a handle on the English language. Okay, shall we talk about the possible reemergence of Michael Avenatti? Let's snap into a Slim Jim, as they say. We have many varieties here.
Yes.
I think it's a decent segue, not from the cannibalism necessarily, but let's just.
It is very meaty.
Let's just talk about it as
it's
if
like
we were going.
It's like a sinewy muscle.
Let's talk about it as if we were going from the road trip to this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes,
what a
yes,
great
yes, yes.
and appropriate segue.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very appropriate. And this, also, you mentioned finding a Slim Jim in a haystack.
Oh,
in
yes.
The last episode,
well, I
got some people
I
thinking.
Have been in search of a pickle.
Oh,
Slim Jim.
Yes, that's
and,
one of our choices here. We have many varieties.
Indeed, Jennifer has found it for me, so I'm very excited about that. But yeah, this is like road trip food. So we're gonna do some of the road trip. Which one do we want to choose
the,
first?
The basic gas station one. This is not a Slim Jim. It's just a basic one. So there are no protections on. You don't know what you're eating right now.
Okay, but this one is the Walmart.
It's very cheap. Yes,
Walmart brand.
Jennifer, you can just nod. Was it more than a dollar or less than a dollar? About a buck, less than a buck. Okay, this is very exciting.
Okay, so great value. Let's try
it. Okay, so hold on 1 second. Let's take a... It smells.
I mean, it smells like standard Slim Jim.
Yep, it smells smoky. Okay.
Now, is it snappy?
All right.
That's what we're going to find out. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
I am eating off mic.
I would say for a value Slim Jim, apologies for using the brand name. I know it's a beef jerky. That's a great value because it tastes like a Slim Jim.
It's smoky.
You're
and
welcome,
beefy.
Walmart.
Maybe it's because I didn't have breakfast. It's hitting all the right spots in my taste, but dare I say a little bit of even umami. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to get it, the name of that brand
so sophisticated.
Later. It's very, yeah. No, it's hitting all the right spots.
Okay, so that's jerky number one.
Okay.
Speaking of jerks,
yay.
Michael Avenatti back on the scene. There was a tweet last week that I just ran across and I thought, oh my gosh, this is John Levine reporting. Jonathan Levine, he says, Michael Avenatti, who is in prison. Remember, we went over him giving a prison interview to MSNBC where he sort of trounced the narrative at MSNBC from prison. Now, does that mean, because I might happen to agree with Avenatti a little bit on this subject, that Avenatti is trustworthy? No, it does not. Just like Michael Cohen is not necessarily trustworthy in this case because they're proven liars over and over again. However, he said, like, you know, a lot of this is bunk. So this is the news story. Michael Avenatti says he's in touch with Trump's legal team and would be prepared to testify at his trial for the defense. He says the case is BS. Trump is being railroaded and warns Stormy Daniels will commit perjury if called to the stand.
I would say he's equally credible as the star witness for the prosecution, Michael Cohen.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're sort of...
Right. This is really an Iraq-Iran of credible witnesses.
It is, but I think it would be ratings gold. I think that Michael Avenatti, you know, putting in his 2 cents from prison is something you would see probably on Fox, but definitely not on. I think he's now, if he does this, he would become persona non grata on MSNBC and CNN.
Right.
Because they had him on before when they were even urging him that maybe he could run for president because he's so amazing.
Gosh. Embarrassing.
And then even when he tried to have Julie Swetnick falsely testify against, you know, Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, that one was a real... Yeah.
And then he tried to shake down Nike. And then, of course, the Stormy Daniels thing and, you know...
And now he's in prison.
And now he's in prison, but...
But let's get his legal thoughts.
It would be interesting.
Look, I will give him this. He is compelling TV.
Yeah.
He's a talker.
Yeah.
Even listening to him from prison, I momentarily forgot he was in prison. Was like, this is a pretty good assessment of what's going on here. And entertaining. I am not... I think it's hackneyed at this point to say that it feels like we're living in a simulation, but does this not feel like we're living in a simulation? Like this is a scripted drama for Michael Avenatti to show up here. Now, Michael Avenatti is probably just poking his nose in this to say that he's involved so that he can get his name in the headlines. I think that's the more likely
situation. You know, a lot of these people who love being on TV, it's driving him mad that he's just not a regular and he's not toast of the town.
Yeah, he wants to get his powder done. He wants to go out there and
this would be a way
chit-chat
to do
with
it.
The pundits.
Certainly, yeah. But he would obviously have, you know, I mean, I guess it wouldn't hurt if you were one of Trump's, you know, attorneys to
say. Yeah, the argument you would make here, of course, is like, well, this is somebody who's not naturally inclined to support Mr. Trump. And yet on the facts of this case, this is where he is, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't even take an Avenatti, as you know, we've spoken about this before, to point out that hush money is not a crime. Although I listen to the news. And that's how they present it on some of these networks.
No, it's very bad, trashy behavior.
Yeah.
Not a crime.
Disgusting.
And if it is a crime, it is a low-level campaign finance reform or campaign finance violation.
Right. So he changes it to legal expense, which is normally a misdemeanor. But they say that it's a cover-up because he was trying to, you know, win the election.
Yeah.
And suddenly, so that becomes a felony. And then the statute of limitations don't apply. So.
It's
here
a real,
we are.
It's
but
a real
it's happening
reach.
As we speak, this trial.
Yes, the jury is seated, which we will talk about on a more newsy show.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to throw Michael Avenatti into the mix here.
He could be back.
Shall we try another one
we're
taking a break?
Now, the next one I have is this one called, this is now an actual Slim Jim.
Okay.
And this is a spicy. And mine says, even small boys are long boys. Okay. I just hurt Jennifer's brain. Small, S-M-O-L, small, boys, B-O-I-S. Have people forgotten how to spell?
Or this is all internet slang, Vic, for the youngs.
Okay.
Now,
well, this
I
is
will
small,
say,
but it's...
Shout out to the jerky companies, because they often have cute, funny, ridiculous or embarrassing phrases on the jerky packaging. Mm. Mine says Blaze of Glory, which I appreciate. And it also sounds a little scary.
It's a great movie. But wasn't that a movie? I was a Bon Jovi song.
It's a Bon Jovi song.
Sorry.
Okay, New Jersey.
What's the movie I'm thinking of?
You're going to get your New Jersey badge.
I was thinking of Young Guns. The movie Young Guns, which I believe Blaze of Glory was in. Thank you. I knew there was a connection.
Oh, that is correct.
Correct. See, half credit. Okay.
Was that a TV movie, by the way?
No. It had all the great stars in it. Lou Diamond Phillips, Emilio Estevez, I'm pretty sure.
It did have all the famous people in it, but I swear it was
TV. It's not made for TV. That was in the theater, man.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
Let's take it. Okay, this is the spicy.
You're right. Number one at the box office. I saw it on TV.
On TV, of course. All right.
Here we go. Blaze of Glory.
Oh, there's a snap. That's unmistakable snap. Mm-hmm. In the words of the great Macho Man Randy. Oh, my gosh, it's spicy.
He was saying Macho
Randy
Man.
Randy Savage. The late Mario Poffo. Snap it to his Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
The spicy one made your voice like Randy Savage's. That's how that works.
I'm out of control. I'm insane, you know? Okay. We have a wonderful review of John Finkel's biography of Macho Man Randy Savage in the current Weekend Beacon by our friend Rob Lockwood.
Woo!
Slim Jim's, by the way.
He's crying over there.
Invented in 1929.
Okay, good to know.
Jack Camella. Later on got sold to General Mills and then now ConAgra. But
ConAgra.
That's
the most...
That's the name, isn't it?
Archetypically evil-sounding name for a corporation.
Yeah.
ConAgra.
Yeah.
Making your food, we swear it's good for you.
Believe me, I'm sure they have their enemies. So, okay. Next
you're all
on
right?
the news. I am fine. You know, thank goodness I have water here and that I took my blood pressure meds because my sodium is going to go right through the roof.
This does remind me of Young Guns and Blaze of Glory. Yeah, indeed. By the way, the stars of that movie were Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney, and this poor guy, Casey Simasco.
Casey Simasco, yes.
Not the household name that the others became. No shade. I just wasn't aware that I was going to read that name right then.
Yes,
I suddenly said, who is that?
It caught you on the spot on our teleprompter. He was in a movie called 3 o'clock High, which is a cult classic from the 80s. Check it out.
And just for the record, in case you need to know a lot about late 80s releases, Lonesome Dove was the one that was a TV movie.
Yes.
This one was a real movie.
A classic.
I mean, they're both real movies, but you know what I'm saying?
We had something. Okay. You wanted to talk about Elizabeth Warren.
I do want to talk about Elizabeth Warren.
I need my Tums. We're gonna do a Tums episode after this.
Try the
I prefer
kinds
fruit
about
and the chewables. Okay.
I'm a chewables gal myself. Yeah.
I like
when I'm pregnant, I always need a lot of Tums.
Powdery tablets.
All
okay.
Right. Chalky tablets.
Quality. This content is really what the listeners really
they love
yeah,
they it. Love it. Okay. Okay. Here we are. Elizabeth Warren, who has probably never been on a road trip or eaten gas station food. Let's see what she has to say about the real problems facing this nation as a senator of these United States.
Green tax on iPhones, they're ruining relationships. That's right.
I want to just make that clear. She said green texts on iPhones, they're ruining relationships.
Non-iPhone users everywhere are being excluded from group texts, from sports teams chats to birthday chats to vacation plan chats. They're getting cut out, missing out on plans and conversations. And who's to blame here? Apple. That's just one of the dirty tactics that Apple uses to keep a stranglehold on the smartphone market. Apple has used its monopoly on smartphones to lock Americans into services and amass billions of dollars in profits. Apple even takes a cut every time you use Tap to Pay and has blocked a new app that would have let Android users finally use iMessage and get those blue texts. That's why last month, the Department of Justice sued Apple for its broad-based exclusionary conduct. And that's the right thing to do. It's time to break up Apple's monopoly now.
Okay.
I wonder how she feels about net neutrality. Sorry. Remember all those people who died?
Oh, yeah. Everyone died. So many people died.
Oh, man. Terrible.
First of all, the idea that green versus blue texts is a problem that needs solving.
Yeah.
By the United States
government. Because there are a lot of problems this country faces.
Second, they're not being excluded from the texts by Apple. People are just like, I don't want you in my... That's a right. personal choice that people are making. And by the way, in our family, we have both Android and Apple users. Why is that? Oh, because there isn't a monopoly. Android users are all around you, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you can choose to exclude them, but that's a personal liberty kind of thing, guys. We don't do it in my family. We mix the texts.
So I have a lot of questions here because, as you know, I'm not the most tech-savvy person. Uh-huh. The first thing is, I never knew what the significance was of the blue and the green texts. I thought it had to do with having Wi-Fi service or not. And sometimes if you didn't have like if you're out of, like a signal area or something, then it would switch over from, you know, your iPhone to whatever it is that they use. I don't
know. No, I don't want to boomer this too hard, but I will say that the basics are a green text is coming over SMS text, which is one form of sending and encryption.
Yes.
The blue ones are a proprietary Apple created encryption and sending method.
And that's not SMS?
And that is why, by the way, that they're blocking an app that would piggyback on the thing they created. Because is how freedom of markets works, is that you create the thing and you profit from the thing you created. By the way, Apple's locking people into products. I have issues with Apple, but like Apple's locking people into products that work and that they like to use. That's what Apple's doing.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question. She mentions this on her video. Is it true though? I can create a group thread. Not everybody.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's not the company leaving them out. It's people deciding they don't want the green texts in their group.
And she's saying that's by choice.
She's saying we need to turn the text blue.
Families, vacation
so
plans.
So that families aren't ruined by family members keeping out the green text.
Yeah. Sometimes they go on they make these vacation plans, and then like half the family shows up at the place, and then the other half that were on the green, they got left behind.
No, this is what happened with my 8-year-old. You know, she insisted on having an Android, and we all went to the beach, and she got left home.
Yeah.
That's sorry.
She was green with envy.
She.
Sorry. There's something about these Slim Jims. Okay.
But like, back to that Katie Couric clip that was like, there's a lot of contempt for the elites and the intellectuals in this country. And people are just jealous. Yeah. I am not jealous of Elizabeth Warren.
No.
Elizabeth Warren is neither elite nor intellectual. This is a super dumb idea. She is communicating it super dumbly. And I don't have to take it seriously. And yet it's like, voiced it upon
us. This is
everyone. She's our leader.
Yeah.
She's a thought leader, guys. No. I reject it. What I don't reject is our next Slim Jim.
This is the one you've been really looking forward to.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. Tell us what it's called.
This is the Vlasic collab.
Oh, it's
okay, you know how brands work together?
Yes.
Vlasic
Slim
Jim collab. Now, it's funny. Another podcast I listen to that occasionally does product tries like this, snack trying. It's the Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend podcast, which I love. Tried a Vlasic collaboration with like Jelly Belly. So it was like pickle jelly beans. They were not impressed. However, I have had this before, and if it stands up to my memory,
really,
it's good stuff.
Well, I'm generally a savory person over sweets, so I'm looking forward to snapping into this.
Let's
see.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes!
Wow, that's impressive.
It is very pickly.
If you like pickle, so mine doesn't. Are you saying that yours doesn't say what mine says? Mine says pickle meat.
See, we love that. Mine says time to hit the gym. JIM. They're poets there. They're poets over there.
So there is some concern,
dude. This is delicious. I don't care what anybody says.
That's quite. It smells so good it could be fake.
If Vlasic Slim Jims had a monopoly, I wouldn't ever go after them.
I have, you know what? And I was thinking about you, Mary Catherine, because I just bought another jar of Vlasic ovals, but not the sweet kind, not the bread and butter kind, but regular dill flavored, because I know you were down on the bread and butter.
Never a sweet pickle gal.
No, I don't like sweet pickles.
I want
but
only
I changed
sour.
It up. I changed it up.
Wait, question.
Yes.
I'm just thinking about it now. The Vlasic mascot is a pelican or a stork?
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's real mouthy.
Yes.
Hold on.
There used to be commercials with him.
Yeah.
As a cartoon Vlasic character.
Vlasic Pickles. Is he a pelican? Pelican-y.
I think he's a pelican. A stork would be like somebody's having a baby.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Pregnancy has cornered.
Oh, pickles have.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. So.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to look this up. Vlasic mascot. Vlasic Pickles Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know my source here. The business rapidly expanded in the post-war years, corresponding with growth in per capita pickle consumption. A child-bearing stork was introduced as a mascot in 1974, merging the stork baby mythology with the notion that pregnant women have an above-average appetite for pickles.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Oh, that's funny.
That is brilliant.
I was trying to put that together, and now that makes sense.
I was saying, no, they wouldn't do that because that means, you know, it has something to do with pregnancy, but now you're encouraging that. Oh, I need my pickles.
Well, so the Vlasic stork has delivered unto us this delicious.
Thank you to the stork. The stork.
He has an accent. The Vlasic stork.
I don't remember what.
Do you remember?
Oh, is it something like Bostonian?
Yes, I think so.
What in doubt?
I'm going to pull him up on YouTube and see what he has to say.
Okay.
Look, I'm really invested in this stork.
You are.
Perhaps because I've had many babies and it was speaking to me without my knowledge. Here we go.
You're probably wondering why this family is blindfolded.
Yeah, why are we?
To prove that Vlasic is America's best-tasting pickle. Now try Pickle X.
You call it a pickle?
Now taste Pickle V, the Vlasic pickle. Yes, more proof that Pickle V, Vlasic, is America's first choice.
Test Vlasic yourself and see why it's America's number one pickle.
Aren't you the Vlasic stork?
Well, I'm certainly not Mother Goose.
All right, there you go.
That's... Not really, but he's more of a city guy. He sounds more of a city guy. He's very wise. The stork.
Yeah. You'd think he's
probably coming from, like, you know, wherever.
Yeah, storks, you'd think he'd live on
wherever
the
storks come from.
You think he'd live on the river? The
yeah,
lake?
Yeah, yeah.
He
somewhere
wouldn't
that's
be
right,
an
story.
Urban guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet,
no, but no,
it's probably just a very worldly stork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he travels up and down the Hudson.
Now you know.
Now we're about halfway through our beef jerky. Mm-hmm. These are really beef sticks tastings. To which some of our listeners are saying, thank God. But the other ones are like, please, tell me more. And there are, because people are concerned, obviously, that, you know, does beef jerky, can it give you cancer? Is it carcinogenic,
oh,
right?
Well.
Technically, no. And technically, yes.
Okay.
So the technically no.
Tell me more.
Okay, well, yes, the technically no part is like, in a normal curing process, mm-hmm. right? I mean, humans... Have been curing meat since at least in this version of jerky.
Just to be the dum-dum, curing of meat is drying with salt and like,
yes,
is that
but
the
you're using in particular
that?
Sodium nitrate. They didn't realize it's sodium nitrate, but that's what it is. It's NaNO3.
Okay.
The thing. So but before they knew that, they were just doing this process, right? The Incans or whoever, you know, definitely an American thing.
Okay.
The Indians in America, either North or South America, at least in the 1500s when it was first documented by the, you know, the Europeans, like, hey, this is amazing.
The original Slim Jim.
Okay. And it was more of a, you know, I mean, you're seeing, but most jerkies, you know, more of a flatter form.
Yeah. You know how people do land acknowledgments?
Yes.
About tribal lands?
Yes.
I am from now on going to do a jerky acknowledgement.
A jerky acknowledgement.
Because I do appreciate
this. We took
this wow.
from our Native American ancestors, per se. Mm-hmm. In the process of curing it, though, right, you put it in the casing.
Right.
And it's an oxygen deprived environment. So then it goes from sodium nitrate to sodium nitrite, and then eventually it just becomes like nitrate oxide, which is totally harmless.
Okay,
it takes about 30 days the normal curing process, and that gives it the red color, like salamis. They all have that red tint to it, perfectly fine. But then at some point along the way, scientists realize they can cut out the first part and just they can create. The sodium nitrite themselves, NaNO2.
Yes, they're shortcutting it.
They're shortcutting it, and as a result, there are remnants of those nitrites in the final product.
Right,
and that is what is carcinogenic. But you always see this. This is a very interesting thing. You ever go to supermarkets, and if you go to like a fancy one, like a Whole Foods versus like a regular supermarket, or anywhere, the brands will oftentimes say no nitrates.
Yes,
or they'll say uncured.
Yes.
You know, so it's not cured.
Oh.
But that just that's all terminology, right? It has to do with the fact that they're not using, so like the healthy ones.
The natural process.
Right. They're still using sodium nitrite, but it's from celery juice.
Okay.
And it's more natural process.
So is there actual evidence that shortcutting this process creates something that does hurt you?
Yeah. Studies about nitrites have shown there's a connection. It's a carcinogen.
Okay. So. They tell you, by the way, not to have nitrates when you're pregnant.
Oh, although it's like cold cuts too, right?
Although I think it's quite a lot overblown. Yeah. I would have to recheck my copy of Expecting Better by Emily Oster, which if any of you are pregnant or thinking of getting pregnant, you should read because it treats pregnant women like adults and goes through the cost-benefit analysis of each thing you're told not to eat or experience while pregnant.
That's right. I imagine that a lot of women actually survived having a ham sandwich.
Yes, it's very
true. I'm not endorsing this.
I believe her take with the lunch meats was that the issue you actually face is a listeria.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And those are so random, it's very hard to tell what you should and should not consume. But she named the meat that was most common for listeria, and I don't want to slander a particular type of meat, so we'll correct this if I'm wrong, but I believe it was sliced turkey.
I mean, who's really a fan of that anyway? So that's great news for me.
But yes, you can basically have your cold cut sandwich if you want to. All right.
Speaking of salami, I think we're up to the next one here, by the way.
Which
is not salami, it's pizza.
Now, the three we have.
Which one
do you have?
Oh, I have pizza. That's the other one you're looking at. But we can get this one here. This is, I don't know what this one is
called. His are labeled more clearly.
Oh, chicken maple. Fine.
Okay.
Let's change it up.
Okay, we're going chicken now. I like it.
Oh, for those of you who can't handle the spice.
Oh, this is fun. There's a riddle inside this one. Hold
smells
on.
Nice.
Are you ready? There's a joke.
What?
Why did the student eat his homework?
Why?
Because the teacher said it would be a piece of cake.
I got one for you, Mary.
Okay, what's...
Yes. How do you get an astronaut's baby to stop crying?
Rocket.
Yes.
Ay-yi-yi.
Rocket.
Hey, listen.
It's funnier listening to it than reading it.
Okay, I just want to point out that I have honed my skills on guessing dumb jokes like this because my kids read those dumb kid joke books to me all the time, and so I'm always trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Someday when that's a skill that pays, I guess that'll do me good. All right, shall we? All right. I feel like this is more natural because the snap was not what I need it to be.
There's no snap. This is called Snack Mates. So this is not Slim Jim. Is that correct?
The taste
is
good.
You can tell. Because it's probably, you can tell it's not Slim Jim because it's probably healthier.
That's the problem.
And the flavors are so unoffensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you were to serve like we have to serve some form of beef jerky on a cruise ship, it would be this one. No old person would say my stomach.
Right. The flavor's good.
Mm-hmm.
The texture is not what I want it to be, but it's not bad.
No.
It's just
actually eat like a whole bunch of these and probably be fine.
And it came with a joke, which I do appreciate.
That's
again, a lot of work goes into the copy on the jerky products.
Yeah. No,
I think that's
appreciated. All right.
All right. What's next on our list? Oh, Vox was writing this week.
Oh,
you know, we always tune into the thought leaders at Vox.
This is
a piece just about, will alcohol ever be replaced as the go-to intoxicant? We obviously have a lot more access to weed-based products these days that are legal.
Yes.
Still not federally, but, you know, in many places.
Right.
A lot of people do edibles. A lot of just like normie suburban moms are eating those gummies. You know, it's a different era. A lot of people are doing shrooms.
Yes.
Grown people on that front, too.
Apparently.
Yes. Allegedly.
Psilocybin. What is it? I don't know.
So it was just this piece just talks through some of those.
Yeah.
Those options and notes correctly. And this is what I used to argue with Bill O'Reilly about marijuana is that, look, man, I mean, if you're gonna police something, alcohol is actually leads to far more violent behavior and more law breaking than weed does. Now, in the years since it's been legalized in various other places, you can look at the results in these laboratories of democracy and go, I'm not sure I like some of the cascading effects of
this.
I would like to just put that out there. But yeah, this is a long time argument about, should society be moving to other forms of this?
Recreational.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Have you seen the commercial? We've seen so many don't drink and drive commercials, obviously. And in fact, there's a great one on Elevator News. Mm-hmm. When you go up to our floor and it's a guy and he's, you know, trying to do all sorts of things to get himself sober.
Right.
And then Sober Self texts him and says, when are you going to, you know, just call an Uber? Which is it's right there. So, I mean, really just.
That is a wonderful thing about technology these days. Because
I'd like to know how that's helped a lot of people.
Uh-huh. It's a big deal.
It is. But have you seen the commercials for everyone is too high to drive and don't drive while being high?
I haven't seen that, but it is good advice.
A bunch of young people, they're going out camping, they're loading up the car, and they sit there And one guy says, oh, I thought you were driving. The other guy says, oh, I thought you were driving. And then the one girl goes, I'm not driving. And she starts giggling. And then it ends, you know, it's a public service message saying don't drive while high. And then you just see them at the end in sort of like their driveway area in the front by the car, just clearly continuing to get high.
Yeah.
Like, great. But but here's the thing. I didn't read the whole piece, uh-huh. the Vox piece. But she opens up by saying, you know, about these different options because, you know, how she took it's an interesting lead. It's a good hook because she talks about having a bad trip from taking
yes.
these shrooms. And she said, but one of the things she says, of course, is everyone's doing shrooms,
right?
I wouldn't say everybody while playing Mario Kart. Which gives me yeah. such hope for this generation that this is what they're doing.
Now, there is a bit of a trend, but I think it is among our intellectual elites for experimenting with shrooms as a mind opening and safer alternative to like an LSD, of course. And I hear about it.
Jennifer's face.
I hear about it like a medium amount these days.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. From people we know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. However, let me just say this to paraphrase my late friend, Michel Richard, who used to say people, you know, care more about what kind of gas they put in the car than what they put in their bodies. People are more obsessed with like where their coffee is sourced.
Right.
And their chickens without the, you know, GMOs and antibiotics. And is the coffee fair trade? And is it come in the recycling bag? And at the same time, they're like, oh, I'll just take this shroom. Do you know where it's from?
Is that a locally sourced shroom?
No. I mean, yeah, exactly. So, you know, was that a fair trade shroom? So I'm like, let's get our priorities straight here.
Right.
But that said, I guess people are wondering if there are alternatives to just drinking.
Well,
what do you have to say?
Well,
it,
I do think, look, alcohol can be obviously a challenge for addiction reasons. That's a whole yeah. separate issue of area of problems. But just as a health related issue, you know, drinking alcohol regularly can be problematic for your body, for whatever goals that you're having, particularly
sure.
for the special affliction of middle-aged ladies with anxiety. It often increases your anxiety. So you got to be careful about that. So I understand the desire to replace it with something. And she makes reference to something that I think drives a lot of why we drink casually is little treat culture is
yeah.
what she calls it. You want to reward yourself.
It's a reward.
For getting
sure.
through your day,
yeah.
for doing
yeah.
some hard stuff. And that feels like a treat. A nice cocktail feels mm-hmm. like a treat. But giving yourself that treat might work against your ultimate goals
right.
if you do it too often. She noted in here something that I have had before, which is kava. Have you heard of this?
Now, when I saw this, kava, and then I thought, number one, the Mediterranean fast food place, kava.
That's what most people think when you say it.
And then, actually, of course, I know, and kava is a kind of Spanish sparkling wine.
Okay.
I have a feeling this is something else.
This is
Mary
different.
Catherine. Okay.
Steve once texted me, do you want some kava? I'm picking some up. And I was like, very, that sounds adventurous, but yeah, I'll take some. And he meant Mediterranean food. Okay.
You're so edgy.
Kava, the bitter, don't get too excited about it, the bitter, muddy-tasting, psychoactive South Pacific plant also popped up in specialized bars and urban enclaves around the country over the course of the last decade. In 2012, there were about 30 kava bars in the U.S. That number has since risen to 400. There's a canned kava drink that calls itself the Budweiser of the industry. It launched in late 2021. And the co-founder, Dallas Vasquez, is describing the sensation to the reporter here. You're socially more outgoing, and it's just kind of a relief. And the best thing about it is you're not intoxicated. It's not going to limit your functionality. So.
There's got to be a catch. Come on now.
Sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
And yet I have had it. And I don't know about the functionality part. I felt like I was functional.
Uh-huh.
I definitely felt a little tipsy. Like, I felt outgoing. I felt a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, because you know, your normal self is not really outgoing. So I'm so glad you had that to give you the little extra push.
The poor people.
To get out of your little introverted.
The poor
self.
People in the bar are like,
It's like, this sounds like the last thing I need.
Is she doing a podcast right now?
Yeah.
So, no, I actually enjoyed it. And I guess it does sound too good to be true, except for the fact that it tastes like crap. So there's that.
Not literally.
That works against
tastes
it.
Muddy.
No, it just tastes like terrible.
Okay. Yeah.
I just meant it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not literally.
Well, you never know because, you know, we.
Figuratively.
Yes. We just ran this another review of ours from the great Dave Garrow of the book, The Truce, about the Democrats making their peace with each other and
right.
really being beholden to the left. But one of the things he discovers in the book is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, helping out her boyfriend, Riley, her boyfriend at the time, boyfriend now.
Which is the redhead guy that she's still with.
Yes. Yeah. And pushing, she endorsed Civet Coffee. Mm-hmm. And this is the coffee that's, you get it from Indonesia.
Right.
And it's the coffee beans.
Speaking of how it's sourced.
Yeah, speaking of how it's sourced, it really matters. And the and that the civet ingests the coffee beans and then leaves it behind as droppings. And then they clean it. We, you know, obviously, and then brew that coffee, and it takes out the acidity.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The civet is what kind of animal?
It looks like a, you know, it's
mammal or fowl?
It's a mammal. It's a mammal. It's a mammal. It's like a help me out here, muskrat,
I mean, not that
badger,
it matters.
I don't know.
It's. I like guess a, it doesn't matter if it's bird poop or poop or mammal poop. How
but it's like a rodent.
Approach the
it's
coffee.
Kind of a rodent. I could be wrong. It's kind of a rodent.
Okay.
At any rate, that's why I wanted to check with the kava. I get it. You know, people we know. You've done dry and wary, right? Mm-hmm. Other people I know, they look great come February 1. You know, it's all the excess fluid and liquid, you know, because it's all that, you know weight.
You start dropping weight immediately.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's from the alcohol. So I get it. And sometimes, on a rare occasion, I'll go through a weekend where I wasn't going out to some party or a dinner party or anything, and I feel amazing.
Right.
You know, it's the great Frank Sinatra used to love saying, and other people do, but Frank Sinatra used to love saying that, you know, I feel sorry for people who don't drink because when they wake up in the morning, it's the best they'll feel all day, you know, and
so sad.
It is very sad. And but there is, however, something about, you know, going to, like, I love when I go to the Palm and I get a martini.
Right.
I'm just waiting for it. And you get that martini.
I know, it's nice.
And it's that. There's something so wonderful
about
that.
That's your little treat.
It's a little treat. And I don't, not to rationalize drinking, because, like, you're not, like, as G.K. Chesterton says, drink irrationally, not rationally. Don't try to give yourself reasons to drink, because that's also kind of a problem. But, you know, I mean, I wonder how much of this, Mary Catherine, is people drinking, younger people, I think they still drink just to get drunk without really, like, oh, I enjoy the taste of this cocktail, just drinking to get drunk.
Right.
Right. I don't know.
I'm past that point of my life, of course.
I have to tell you this is really disturbing. One of my best friends.
Excited about it.
Huh? Yes. One of my best friends. Was like, oh, you know, let's not kid ourselves. We just drink to get drunk. Otherwise, why would you drink wine? Wine doesn't taste great. And I said, what are you talking about? I don't drink wine with my steak, you know, because I want to get drunk.
Drunk with your steak.
With my steak. And he goes, well, in that case, why don't you just drink grape juice? Grape juice with my steak? I'm not, what am I, 5? You know, and so, but.
Look, it's a combo. I'm willing to admit it's a combo.
Tastes evolve. I will say this, tastes evolve. I get this argument if you're 20.
One thing I do like, though, is that things like kava and kratom is another one that can.
You haven't had that,
I haven't
you?
Had kratom, but they sell them often at the same place. And that one is said to be, I think, more addictive than.
Avoid the kratom is what I hear.
But here's the part that, you know, the government's going to come in and ruin all this. Mm-hmm. Kava in particular can be an assist to people who need to drink less, right?
Oh, like it's
As vaping,
just as vaping
can,
for
just
smokers,
as vaping can help with smoking cessation. I
That's
don't like when the government jumps in and is like, no, this thing's bad too. And when in fact it's helping you get from the worst thing to a slightly better thing.
That might
In fact, the government is, of course, considering doing that.
Well, it's
many
funny.
Things.
It's funny you say about getting tipsy, because I thought when you were talking about kava, I thought you were talking about those dip things that you put in.
No.
But
those will also get you high.
Well, no. I mean, you have enough that it's like if you smoke enough, like even regular tobacco, you can get high, right? I mean, you get like lightheaded.
Oh, if I had a cigarette right now, I would be
or
out of my mind.
You know, there was
I'm such a lightweight.
I don't know.
I'd be like, woo.
We had there was a contributor back in the Standard days, and he'd come back with Cuban cigars.
Yeah.
And we'd have lunch with him and our colleague Richard Starr. But Richard would be like, I'm not going to smoke. Just give it to Vic, you know. And you don't want to offend the person by not smoking.
Right.
So you go to Shelly's, right?
Yeah.
And you have the Cuban cigar.
Oh, man, Shelly's.
And you're smoking this thing.
As a person with a sensitive nose, I just have to say Shelly's not my jam.
Anymore or ever?
Ever.
Oh, really?
There were times when
you have to go to the dry cleaners after.
There were times when I went. Uh-huh. Because I wanted to be with the people.
Sure, because people
smelly.
It's hardcore. Well, you can imagine I'm there. I'm trying to have a burger, but smoking a cigar at the same time. And you don't want to leave like half a Cuban. And so I'm really inhaling this thing. And by the time we walk out, I'm like tipsy. You know, what is happening here? So I will say this, though. A friend of mine who's tried all sorts of things says to avoid the kratom. So
okay. Well, by the way, it's like very cute of me to act like I'm above Shelley's and the smell when I spent most of my high school years in a smoking allowed Bojangles, skipping first period, right? Like I'm eating biscuits in a cloud of cigarette smoke. So like, you know, I'm not above it, guys. It is a weird thing to think how much the cigarette smell was a part of all of our lives everywhere we went, and then it became not.
Yeah, and I remember there was a great diner in Toms River. It's still there, but people can tell you it's not nearly, I think it has new owners. It's not as good as it used to be, called the Crystal Diner. And back in the day when I was in high school, you know, we'd always go there, or college, late night after you go out to clubs,
of course,
boardwalk, whatever, and you go into the Crystal Diner and the smoke. I don't know if they even had a non-smoking section, but you came out smelling like you were at a casino.
By the way, the non-smoking section is also very funny because like smoke in the same way that like funds for Planned Parenthood is fungible, like, or like money to Iran. Like
It's moving all around. Plus, this is a terrible thing to say, but you know, if you chose like at a restaurant non-smoking section, that was so obviously the not cool section.
Yeah.
You know, like at the Tombs.
You can't be cool if you sit over here.
No, at the Tombs, the upper part, that's where all the, you know, where the smoking was. That, you know, and that's where all the fun was. And then you go down to the lower level.
I mean, the Youngs don't know. The Youngs don't know that going out to a bar would change your whole hair washing and jean washing schedule, right? Like if you had those jeans fitting just right and they were at the right part in their sort of like dirty arc, once you went out to a bar one night, you have to rewash them, or you have to put
smelly
them out in
jeans.
The sun for like a full day. Are you going to smell?
Does the sun remove the smell?
Yeah, it does actually. Sun's good at that.
Mary Catherine, we got two more to go.
Okay. All right. Back to our vices, are jerky. Okay, what is this one? This is a pizza.
This is pizza. And honestly, Jennifer, this is not a Slim Jim brand, is it? Oh,
this is the same one as the last one, right?
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
We're
about
going
this.
Crazy, though. It's pizza flavored.
It may
but
be
it's a
artificially
chicken...
flavored. I don't know.
It's a chicken jerky, but it's pizza themed, correct?
Yes. All right. It's a very subtle smell. It's hard to tell. It just smells like jerky.
Mm. Okay, it does taste like pizza. Mm-hmm. But like...
It misses the snap. These non-Slim Jim brands, it must be a very secret recipe. But by the way, one scientist figured out how to cure by inserting their own sodium nitrite.
Mm-hmm.
It went from like basically 30 days to one day.
I mean, is that where the snap comes from?
Maybe. But I have to tell you, I just promised, by the way, that we weren't going to be eating out of the microphone.
Be careful.
That was disgusting, and I apologize to listeners. It's not bad.
No.
If you'd have told me this was pizza flavored, I would say no. It tastes like a regular.
Well, here's my question, though. It does taste vaguely pizza flavored.
Pizza
flavored.
Cheese,
but
if
I want pizza flavored cured meats, don't I just eat pepperoni?
A pepperoni stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Hormel.
Sign me up for that. But it's not a bad taste. It's like, it's not a bad product. I would just prefer the Slim Jim, I would say.
Yeah.
So I want to run this story by you, too, because I did not know this existed. And it existed before the bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But I just read about this last night. There is a service for people who are scared to drive over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, where a driver will jump in with you at the beginning of the bridge, drive you over the bridge, get you to the other side, and send you on your way if you have a phobia about bridges. And of course, this service, Kent Island Express is what it's called, has gotten much more popular since the bridge collapse in the Baltimore area. And it costs about $40 to get somebody to drive you over
The Bay Bridge. Is it the Bay Bridge?
The Bay Bridge, yes.
Because that's a pretty long bridge. I get that. It's pretty serious.
There's been a 15% increase in requests since the collapse of the bridge, which makes sense. I would
anxiety.
Be more nervous on the Bay Bridge now than I was before.
Except for, Mary Catherine, God forbid something happened. Unless your driver is somehow skilled in getting you out and is like
sort of
a Navy SEAL.
No, this is entirely psychological product.
Yeah, this doesn't help me. I mean, like, I don't know how it helps because it's like...
You want a SEAL to come with you.
Well, yeah, that's the only thing. Get me out of this thing before, you know, something happens.
Now, that would be a service. It's like a $300 charge to have
more.
A Navy
but
SEAL
just,
ride with you.
You know, but just get over. You're going over the bridge regardless.
Well, okay.
All right.
Let me speak up for those
Please.
Who have
okay.
the phobia because I have a little bit of it.
You do.
And I think it must be genetic because my grandmother had it, my father has it a little bit, and I have it. And I can get through it, but if there have been times when I go over a bridge, and here's the issue. Long and arched like that is the combo that gets it. If I'm on a straight bridge, not that big a deal.
You have a sense of where.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm always seeing what's in front of me very clearly. It's long and that like archy like shape mm-hmm. makes me nervous for some reason. And there have been times when I have driven over a bridge, particularly the Bay Bridge, and had to really talk myself into it and to be like to physically make myself calmer as I'm driving because I have my kids in the back of the car. I can't be freaking out on the Bay Bridge. And I make it through it, but it does have a real impact.
Get like a clammy?
Yeah. Now, would I pay $40? No, I would not. A, I'm cheap, and B, I believe in working through my fears.
Yes. Well, this is a thing that they explain.
And also, am I going over the Bay Bridge in the near future? Hell no.
It's gonna take a while. For me, I could see being worried if I saw like a cargo ship going through, you know, obviously not the Bay Bridge, but going through while I'm going over the bridge. I get it, right. Especially after just what happened. It's called gyrophobia.
Yeah. I didn't know it had a name, but now I know. But yeah, I guess that's one of those things where like if I were a generation younger, I'd be on TikTok like explaining in great detail how my gyrophobia keeps me from working and you need to pay me a universal basic income so that I can work without having to approach bridges.
What I wonder is, do you tell the person who provides this obviously invaluable service to these mm-hmm. people ahead of time, I'm going to be going over the bridge and meet me there? Or is it they're waiting there like sort of an emergency hotline kind of style where a person's like, I pull in, I couldn't do it. I need your help.
Do you need to schedule it? That's a good question.
Do they have another car on the other side to take them back? How many people are involved in this?
See, that's where I'd get in trouble because I'd never be able to actually manage scheduling it properly.
No, but there's timing then, but also from the side of the service provider, you know, it's like, oh, I brought you over and then somebody needs a ride, but they're on the other side or something. It's like, how am I going to go back? So I'm not quite sure.
Steve Reed is an anxiety treatment specialist who does a lot of work in this area. And he warns against it, saying that's creative avoidance. It's a crutch. Avoidance makes phobias worse. It may serve the purpose of getting them to work, but it will not serve the purpose of helping them get over the phobia. I agree, unless you are a person who's really scared of this and for whatever reason is stuck in a situation where you have to do this regularly. I think like $40 a pop to save yourself that anxiety once a week might be worth it to you.
Yeah.
And like, but I guess if you practice once a week, you'd probably just
get over it. I hope you hope, but I understand that people. Okay, fine. It did remind me of a very funny scene in Annie Hall when Woody Allen meets Dwayne, you know, Diane Keaton's brother and played by Christopher Walken. And he talks about this phobia that he has. Oh, it's not even a phobia. He just keeps on imagining driving a car and then just deciding to go in the other lane and getting in the accident and the smell of the fire and the burning and the gasoline and the bed steel. And then, of course, he ends up having to drive them, you know, later on that night. And and Woody Allen's look on his face is like, it's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Should we try our last?
Yes.
Gym of Slim?
Which isn't even, it's a different brand.
It's called Chomps.
Chomps.
Now again.
Oh, this is supposedly a spicy one.
Again, good copy. Uh-huh. All stick without the ick. Okay. So this one, that's what she said. This one is probably going to be healthier. It says grass-fed and made with grass-fed and finished beef. So here we go. Okay. Better snap on that one.
It's beefy. It's bigger than the Slim Jim. Jokes. Insert joke here.
That's also what you said. Okay.
There is a great place in Cape May. I'm sure they have other locations maybe. But in Cape May, I believe it's called the House of Beef Jerky or something, or Beef Jerky USA. And they give free samples.
Let's get there.
Next time I go, mm-hmm. I'll bring them back. And that's where I had the Carolina Reaper that actually hurt me. Don't mess with the Reaper.
Yeah, best to you on that one. I will not be trying it. Okay, so I like this one because it's not lazy jalapeno. It actually tastes like jalapeno. It's not just peppery. You know how like sometimes they'll just be like, this is jalapeno and it's a little spicy. This tastes like the flavor of jalapeno. It's not too spicy. I actually wish it was maybe a little spicier, but I don't mind that one. This is, by the way, full disclosure, this is the brand that Steve buys. So I know it's no doubt fairly Chomps. Clean. Chomps. So
I think that the Slim Jim spicy. Mm-hmm. What's this one? Even small boys. Oh, excuse me. The long one. Sorry, that was yikes. Anyway, if this were the size of the Chomps, man, you'd be in business
there. Oh my gosh.
There.
I would get. Okay. I am going to go searching for a like gas station size package of the Vlasic Slim Jims for myself.
That was a really good one. Okay.
I love.
You wanted there's a condiment argument.
Yeah. Speaking of the ick, there is a new condiment out there, folks.
Yeah.
Heinz teamed up with Mattel. Are you ready for this?
That's quite an interesting collaboration.
For a mashup that Food and Wine says we didn't know we needed, and I'm not sure we need it, barbecue sauce. It is in a Heinz bottle, the kind that's like you put in your fridge upside down, so it's ready to serve. Squeezable bottle, and it is pink. It is bright pink, and it is barbecue, as in Barbie, and it looks pretty horrific. And I just am not sure about this.
Looks pretty horrific, but how would it taste, Mary Catherine?
I don't know. It's it's like barbecue and mayo. So I guess that would make a pink.
Yeah, barbecue and mayo, also known as Heinz 57 sauce, and they just added some pink dye to it.
Is that what they did?
No, I don't know. I don't know that. People are going to say that's completely off base for me to make that suggestion. I will say that. Would you try it?
Oh, sure. I would try it. But I also don't think I would like it.
The look is everything. And so I think the look would bother me.
The color of this reminds me of, have you ever been at a Mediterranean restaurant where they'll do like a yogurt and beets together?
Okay, sure.
Like
and it gives them. Yeah.
It is that color because beets plus yogurt makes the Barbie pink color.
Yeah, sure.
I love that food, but I sometimes have trouble eating it because of the color, because it seems so unnatural.
The truth is mayo.
It said the girl who just ate six Slim Jims. Like, what am I complaining about?
Yes.
I can't sit in Shelley's or eat artificial food, everyone.
On the other hand,
I'm a very sophisticated lady.
Beef stick. The truth, I mean, okay, obviously, if there are people who absolutely hate mayonnaise, some of our listeners, I'm sure. So, you know, I get that. Some of my best friends don't like mayonnaise. Sorry, that's a joke. The truth is...
It's like another cannibalism one that just went right past me.
Some of my best friends. Mayo can oftentimes, though, enhance a condiment.
You put that together
with ketchup, add a little relish. It's essentially Big Mac sauce, right? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Mayo and mustard together, not just Dijonaise, which was, you know, trademarked from Dijonaise. Do you remember the song for the commercial?
No.
It was from the doo-wop song, the Duke of Earl. I'm not going to do Dijonaise. Okay. So, but
that's mayo, a song I can still play on the piano. Thank you very much.
Very nice. Mayo and mustard is great, by the way.
Yes, agreed.
Especially for dipping like shellfish, shrimp, lobster, crab meat is delicious. So I would say barbecue and mayo, I'd be curious, but I think it's the color, as you mentioned.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. My kids would love it. I guess I could buy it for them. Ugh.
You know what I didn't think was possible?
What's that?
That we could do a whole hour on
jerky?
On jerky.
this is our wheelhouse. We can wrap it up after this Heinz story, but I'm looking
Go
forward
ahead.
To
what
the next
got?
One of these we do, which will be a Cava and Kratom tasting. How high can we get on these alcohol alternatives?
You know, if our listeners, you know, want to like up the ante, like how bad do you want to see that listeners hear that? Make it interesting. What are you willing to put? You got to put something on the table for us. You got to make a wager on this. Incentivize us.
I'll do the research.
Yeah.
I do my own research.
Kratom. To the dozen of listeners who are still left listening to the show, that wraps up this episode of Getting Hammered. Remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at Victorina Mattis. Have a wonderful weekend.
I'm at MK Hammer on Twitter at MK Hammer Time on Instagram. You can follow the show at Getting Hammered Podcast on Instagram or YouTube, and you should. So you can watch us do silly stuff like this.
Mary Catherine, before we end, did you want to do a ranking or no?
Oh, maybe we should, yes.
Okay, you go.
All right, my top is, I should go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't love the chicken ones.
Yes,
so I would say
agreed.
The chicken maple was my least favorite, partly because I'm all savory all day. I don't want any maple in there.
Same.
My kids love that stuff, but I do not. Pizza one second from the Snack Mates.
Yeah, sure. Unremarkable.
Yeah, then we have probably Chomps because it had the nice the nice snap to it.
Yeah.
Then...
In your hands. Don't
hold
lie.
On.
You got it
hold
in your
on,
hands.
Hold on. I'm putting the spicy Slim Jim, actually, behind the Chomps because
was
it was a little
much?
Spicy
it was
for
too
me.
Much. It was too much.
Because if I'm on a road trip, like, I don't need that kind of spice. Then Walmart...
Yes.
Brand Slim Jim second and Vlasic number one.
Okay. I think I might still have the spicy one at the top of my list.
Okay.
And second would be the pickle. That was so interesting. And then the Walmart one. And
okay,
the rest
so
were,
similar
were
ranking.
Similar.
Yeah. But if you want to be healthy, get those Chomps. Okay. If you want to be like Steve,
And who doesn't?
All righty. Thanks for being with us. Stay safe out there with both your spicy Slim Jims and your kava, whatever it is you indulge in. This has been an Evolus Media Podcast.